In the Easter season, we try to read through many of the wonderful stories about resurrection and appearances of Jesus. And someday we should do a faith study series just about these resurrection texts. They are odd. You almost heard Lisa pause when she had to read this line. So, you guys got anything to eat? Jesus on the beach. And that would be a wonderful sermon today. It's not the one I'm going to preach, however, for another day, perhaps. But they're unusual, as remember, these stories are meant to teach us about this idea of resurrection and what we do with it. And so that's been my reflecting each of these weeks. And I don't want to actually focus on that. I want to focus on one small line this morning that not only appears in this story, but more than a dozen other places in the Bible, where either one of the prophets or Jesus says these simple words, "So you now are my witnesses of these things. You are my witnesses." I'd like to think about that with you. And so in that spirit, would you pray with me, please? God, touch our eyes and our ears, our minds and our hearts, so together this day we might see and hear and truly believe in this way of new life, of new possibility, and believe not only with thoughts and words, but by becoming witnesses of that which we have experienced. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was surprised this week. Pleasantly surprised. Nope, more. Delightfully surprised this week. And it all begins with the solar eclipse. That is not what surprised me. You know that we had a solar eclipse on Monday, right? You were part of somewhere that connected somehow. I don't know if it interested you or whether you took some time out to witness or experience it, but it is a rare occurrence, right? I'm going to give you a little third grade science here. It's that moment when the moon comes between us and the sun. And even though the sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, it's also 400 times further away. So for a moment, if you're in the right place on Earth, darkness comes and the light is blotted out. I'm not teaching you anything new. This is third grade science, and it's about where my science stops, so don't ask me much more than that. That's about where it is. It is, however, a rare occurrence to witness a solar eclipse. This also does not surprise me, but it's rare. It doesn't happen very often. Solar eclipses happen once or twice a year. They are pretty regular. It's us being able to see it, to witness it, to be in what they call the path of totality. How's that for an expression? The last time the United States had a path of totality was 2017, and Jill and I drove south several hours to Nebraska to see if we could catch it. And it was an awfully cloudy day, and so we eventually never even got out of the car. I think we might have turned around and headed back, because not only do you have to be in the path of totality, it has to be a lovely day for this to happen. The next time a solar eclipse is going to be visible to humans is only 2 years away, 2026, but you need to be in Iceland or Greenland in order to see it. The next time we hear will be in the path of totality in the year 2040. This is a rare thing. But it wasn't really rare to me. This is where the surprise comes. You see, I grew up with a dad who was all about something like this. The time before 2017 was 1979, and the time before that was 1970. So it was my privilege to witness both of those solar eclipses with my dad. And in 1970, I was 11 years old, and my dad was all about it. For months leading up, he was preparing us for this amazing thing, including buying a telescope kit from Sears and Roebuck that came to our house in the mail. And I'm pretty sure, friends, it was a cardboard tube with a mirror in it. I think that's all. But he had to put it together and was so proud for us to have a solar eclipse-ready reflection telescope. You know, you comes into a mirror and it reflects the light and then there's a little filter on it. But since there were six people in my family and only one telescope, he then taught the rest of us how to do the pinhole in a piece of paper trick. And so I remember sitting on the living room floor when I was 11 with all of our family holding our papers and watching the eclipse. Because remember, in 1970, we didn't have the fancy schmancy glasses, so you couldn't look at the sun. And I remember my little brother once trying to glance up and my dad really coming down hard on that in that moment. So solar eclipses are not really that surprising to me. And I probably would have done nothing had it not been for my niece and her fiancé. If you remember, they were with us at worship last week. And she, for her birthday, asked to go to the Path of Totality. And since she had an aunt and uncle who lived in New Hampshire, and that's on the way, they came to stay with us and then said, hey, do you want to go with us up north? And when her cousin Leah, my daughter over in Barrington, heard her husband, Luke, also a kind of a solar eclipse geek, said, we want in. And so we made a plan over the weekend to meet on 93 and head north to Lancaster, New Hampshire. And as they were texting each other over the weekend, we set aside 4.5 hours early so we could get there easily. The surprises began as we left our house. We were chatting, texting Leah and Luke and the boys coming this way. Jill had some things she needed to do here, so the three of us in a car from the south, and we're coming together, and when they hit 93, we got a text that simply said, uh-oh. By the time we turned at Concord, our trip slowed down immensely. We were moving somewhere around 5 miles an hour, and so we got a little more panicky as we went. And as the traffic began to get more congested, and I just want to point out, because we were looking, there were plates from New York and Pennsylvania and Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. We had a lot of the East Coast thinking that they would also go to Lancaster, New Hampshire with us, hence the traffic jam. And early on, there was a truck with a New Hampshire person in it. I know so because the bumper sticker said, live free or die, which is us. And he was so mad that all of these others, people from away, came to his highway, that he was weaving his truck through traffic and honking and making rude gestures and all. And finally, we watched him take a gravel road that I don't even think was a road to get off the highway. And we went, phew. But I said to myself, oh man, are we in for it? If this is what the day is like, it's going to be bad. Here's where the surprise begins. It was not like that at all. Once that fine New Hampshire gentleman got off the road, something else happened. We were still in the car when it was 2:30, which is when the eclipsing stuff starts to take. And because it was a beautiful day, everybody's windows down, and you could hear people start to murmur. You could hear murmuring on the highway. This is surprising. People saying, I think it's begun. And when you would look at the cars around you, the driver trying to keep their eyes on the road with the car in front, but everybody else in the car was looking out and back and up towards the sun with their glasses on. We had older couples. We had families. We had Boy Scouts. We had the whole crew. In fact, if you had a sunroof, and we did, people were standing up, looking back with their glasses on, and waving at each other like, hooray, look at this. This is surprising. It was joyful. This traffic jam, I'm going to tell you, was a joyful traffic jam. And then people realized, we're not getting to Lancaster, New Hampshire, so here's as good a place as any. And they just started pulling off the highway down into the ditch. And they opened up the back of their car and they pulled out their lawn chairs and their picnic baskets. And starting at about 2:45, it was a picnic along the highway. And people who had no idea who the next car was, but there they are parked, waving each other in. The state police are helping people park on the highway in a traffic jam. We've texted Leah, and Leah says, I think we can make it to Franconia Notch. We're going to head there. And so we said, great, we're going to keep pushing on to see if we can get there. And then the first of the biggies happened. Lydia, my niece, says, what do you suppose is happening there? And we looked over, and here was a woman sitting in a lawn chair with her glasses on. But behind her comes a young man with a bouquet of flowers and a little jewelry box. And he came around, and Lydia said, I think he's about to propose to her. And then all of a sudden, it was as if the entire neighborhood erupted in joy. People are hooting and hollering and applauding when they realized what was... She said, yes, by the way. And we witnessed it. From a traffic jam. Turns out later, just want to buy a side, this is where the surprise is. I learned later that, I want to get the name right, Russellville, Arkansas. Anybody know what happened in Russellville, Arkansas? 400 couples were married at the moment of eclipse in total darkness. 400 couples said, I do, on a soccer field in this Russellville, Arkansas, because they wanted to get married in the eclipse. We kept pushing on, and we drove in to Franconia Notch State Park at about 3:25, about 3 minutes prior to total eclipse. And we're texting my daughter, and she said, follow this path, and we're running. And I look up, and here are my grandchildren running at us. And we all met together just in time to see the moment. It was 99.4. We didn't get to 100. It wasn't really that dark, but it was pretty covered. And just being together, there were 200 people in Franconia Notch Park. And they were happy and delighted. I didn't know any of them, but I talked to almost all of them. I talked later that week to, first, We're just about to get to Franconia Notch when Jill Tyler, who was home here, sent me a picture. An impromptu party broke out on the Jeffrey Center Common. How many people were there? 20? 40? There was wine and cheese, and apparently we decided to have a party in Jeffrey simply because the earth was reminding us how beautiful it was. This is surprising. Traffic jams, and it was Monday. It was a Monday, the day everybody hates. And people were happy and delighted to be together and delighted to be human beings. And around the country, I talked to friends in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the path of totality. My friend is in medical school. His fiance works for some big corporation. And the medical school and the corporation took 2 hours. They shut down everything for 2 hours just so everybody could go up on the roof to watch. A medical school and a business just said, let's just enjoy the day. This is surprising. Something rare changed everybody just for a moment. Now, all of this, you may be wondering, is there a point here? When these disciples experience something on the beach in which they tell us was Jesus in the flesh such that he needed to eat a piece of fish, I don't understand that at all. I really don't know what that's all about. What I do know is he asks them to be a witness of this rare experience, and they allow themselves to be changed. I don't know exactly what happened on the beach, but those disciples, who for most of the way we tell the story are kind of bumbling idiots, who don't understand at all what's going on, all of a sudden become full of joy and hope and a belief that more new life is possible. And so they start telling people about it. They start going out to, this is what is meant by being a witness. It means you've experienced something amazing, rare, unbelievable, but that's not where the real action happens. You need to now go and bring that. You need to act like you know something more is possible. You need to be the one who, and if I may bring you all the way back to my dad's Sears and Roebuck telescope, you need to become the little mirror that reflects the light into the world. This is what it means to be a witness. Now, here's my dilemma. I glimpsed for a very brief moment on Monday a world that got along, that laughed and played and cared together, that set aside their work and their school and their busyness simply to experience something rare and allow themselves to be captivated by joy. I experienced it. So how do I witness it now? What am I called to do to make sure we remember how beautiful this world is, and how rich and present our God is, and how much love can transform the world? What do I do today to be a witness? Because that's our invitation. How do I reflect this possibility in the world? It's so much easier when I hear the news about the bombs coming from Iran to Israel and the children that are dying in Gaza and the fact that the Ukraine is still under it. It's so much easier for me to just say, the world is horrible and I'm done. That's easy. But that isn't witnessing what we know to be true. This is what I know something. I watched people love each other. It might have only been for 1 minute and 46 seconds, but I saw it happen. And now I'm called to reflect that to all of you. And you are called to reflect that to this world. Wouldn't it be amazing if we can get more people together on a Monday in traffic to love each other and to celebrate that? This is really what the power of resurrection is all about. That we become reflection of all that's possible with a God of love and hope and new life. You are witnesses to these things. So now you know. So let's act like we know it. Amen.